Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
John and I are throwing a live event this summer in Minneapolis in late July, and we'd love to have you there. The catch is, this is only open to course members. So if you are a member of our course and you're listening to this, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/live and sign up. We'd love to have you there. And if you are listening to this and you've been thinking about buying the course and you'd love to join us in Minneapolis, book a call with us today, dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. Get on a call. John and I can walk you through what's in the course, get you prepped to get in the course, and get you set up with a live event ticket as well. We'd love to see all of our course members there and really build some community and learn all sorts of different nuggets about high ticket dropshipping and mindset and everything else that we're going to teach while we're there. We'd love to have you there. Come join us in Minneapolis in July. dropshipbreakthrough.com/live. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Today, bringing back good niche, bad niche. Today, we're going to talk about 3D printers, a niche, a market in which I actually have experience. So if you want to, go to Google, type in Wayback Machine. If you've never used it before, it's archive.org. Go there and then type in the3dprinterguy.com. Look in 2015, 2016. I sold it in February 2016-ish, somewhere around there. And so like you can see Ben's handiwork on his first business. If you want to feel better about your first business, you can go look at it. It was good enough. It made money. If I knew then what I know now, isn't that whatever? Like, I'm not looking back. I thought, looking back, John, I haven't looked at it since 2015, 2016. I thought 3D printers was a good industry to be in. What do you think? Have you any experience in the 3D printer market?
No, I really haven't. And I haven't even really spoken to many people who have gone there in the time since. I mean, yes, years ago, I do think I probably spoke to a few people who were looking at doing it or just starting off doing it, but nobody in recent times has really said, hey, I want to get into selling the 3D printers. So this one is a bit of foreign territory. I mean, obviously, I know you've done it and I know your story there, but other than that, it's a bit of foreign territory for me. I think on the face of it, like just thinking about it without doing any deep research, it sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Like when you think about the product, I mean, I'm familiar with the product and what it is and what they do and that sort of thing and some of the applications and all of that. And on that, I could imagine there's some good reasons why you would think that's a good niche, right? I mean, the products, you know, they can be expensive. They're not massive. You know, there's various, you know, enthusiast groups that use them. And so I think like just off the bat, it automatically ticks a few boxes, I think. What's the behind the scenes story?
Yeah, you know, I've got a few nuggets. So on this podcast, we talk about the who. So if you can think about who is buying a 3D printer, there are a few different subsets of people, and I sold to all of them. And so you may have to decide on one of these as your target audience when you're selling them. So there's the hobbyist who is buying one of these because they heard of a 3D printer and it's $1,000 and they don't care and it's just cool and they want to do stuff with their family or their kid or they're a lone wolf who that's just what they're into. And so there's that subset of people. They are buying more of a specific type of 3D printer that's getting close to that no man's land. And it was back then. I'm assuming the prices have been driven down since I was in it in 2015, 2016. So there's probably kits that are quite low price that I'm not sure I would get into. Now, on the other hand, there was a lot of B2B. So there was a lot of companies who were looking for more of these professional units to build out prototypes and models and things for their business. And I'm sure 3D printing has come a long way since then. They're doing even more with it. And so that was the majority of my sales, I would say that. And that was some technical stuff that Ben spent a lot of time on Google. So people would call with a question that I had no clue the answer to, and I would let it go to voicemail. They would ask their question. I would go to Google and be like, what does this word mean? And how, you know, and I would go find the answer for them. I would answer them. I would add it to the product page because I didn't know the answer before. And I had to learn a lot about 3D printers in the process, but that was the B2B. And there was a lot of sales to be had there, to be fair. The other side of that was schools. So I had a $26,000 order, something like that, to a school. That was a good day, selling a giant amount of 3D printers. And I think there was opportunity to do a lot more of that, to outfit schools, or I can imagine like Boy Scout troops might be into that, or a lot of different school groups or extracurricular activities or things like that. I think there'd be a lot for that, but definitely schools, there was an opportunity there. And those were big orders. That does come with you having to give terms, which at the time I didn't know what terms was. When a school said, can I have net 30? I said, let me go Google that, because I didn't know what it was. It was my first business. And so they wanted to pay 30 days after the product arrived, which, you know, can I float that on a credit card? At the time, no. And so I reached out to my supplier, who said, you know what? You've been doing a lot of hard work for us. We'll float it. You pay us when you get the money. And like, that was a really cool moment in my journey of like somebody sticking their neck out for me based on the work that I had done for them. So I think focusing on the higher end units and not the kits could be valuable. I do think once you establish yourself, you could easily get your own kit white labeled under your own brand name. I think that's pretty easy to do nowadays. There are things that people need to keep buying, right? The filament, I've lost the vernacular from back then, the plastic, right? So there's PLA and there's ABS. You can print metals. There are repeat purchases there of people coming back to need more things. They are very low ticket, right? And so, well, I don't think you're going to be advertising these things. You should have them available and constantly contacting your customers to make sure that they have everything they need to continue building what they want to build. And so it's got a lot of pros, John, a lot of pros. And I think it's still in its infancy. If you remember back in 2014, 2015, it was kind of all the rage, right? This was before... man, if you could think of the escalation, right? There was like 3D printing was the next thing. And then the Orange Man came along and the whole world was infatuated with the Orange Man. And then somewhere on there, COVID came along, right? And then Web3 was the next thing and crypto. And now we're on to AI. And so like 2015 was the 3D printer kind of era. And it's kind of gone quiet. I know you haven't heard a lot about it, but I guarantee it's being worked on heavily. They're 3D printing rockets nowadays. And so like, who knows where we go with this? I do think there's probably, without, you know, going to Google and doing some deep research, probably a lot of opportunity here, mostly because, like you said, John, it's not something that gets brought up a lot when we do niche verification or talk to people on sales calls. It's not something I hear about. Nobody's like, hey, what do you think of 3D printers? And maybe it's just kind of lost its place in the ethos of the world. And it's not talked about much, so it's not thought about.
And I think that's actually a good thing, right? In my experience, you actually don't necessarily want to get on the hot new thing when it's the hot new thing, right? So we saw this a bit with drones, which was also back, you know, 2014, 2015, you know, DJI and these sort of brands are bringing out the drones. Everybody's getting into drones back then. And so you could start drop shipping drones. Now, I didn't do it personally, but I was coaching a number of people who got into drop shipping drones.
Me too.
And, you know, they were really popular. Everybody was trying to buy them. And there was a lot of trouble with the suppliers. There was actually a lot of trouble with fraudulent orders as well. Like, I knew people that were just getting hit with like 15 or 16 fraudulent chargeback situations a month sort of thing. Like, it was really high. And I just got to the point where I was telling people not to do drones, like stay away from that because it's just overcooked at the moment. But everything, all of these new things, you go through this period, it's like a curve where interest peaks and then it goes down, it disappears, and then it just slowly starts to creep up again. So any new technology, that's basically what happens, right? And you know, you see it with crypto as well. When that it took off one day, it exploded, and then it kind of dropped in. You know, now not so many people are talking about crypto, but it's still there. It's still a thing, right? And obviously, there's a few other factors behind that as well. But that's actually, I think, a good time to get with it when it's not the thing that everybody's talking about, but it's established and it's been used and the people who use it still love it, but everybody else isn't thinking about it. And I think that's the market settled down a bit, you know what I mean? And you're just going to get attention from the people who really want those things rather than every man and his dog who just wants to have a look and isn't really, you know, serious about it. You know, those sort of people, a lot of returns, all that sort of thing. So I think it's probably a good thing it's not so busy. What's it like on the supply side? You know, because sometimes with these products, I find that the supplies or the margins can be a bit shit. Were they all right?
Yeah, I got a couple points to make with that. One was to your last point. I'd never really thought of that. That's a good point. When it's the hot thing, right? Everyone knows it's the hot thing. So the scammers are trying to come in there so that they can grab it from you and not pay for you. And, you know, the real card holder will charge back and they're, you know, somebody's holding the bag, right? Which is you, or ClearSale, dropshipbreakthrough.com/ClearSale will solve this problem. Thank you, sponsor. We appreciate you. And, but the fraudsters are out there too. They want to get this so they can flip it on eBay and make a quick buck or throw it on Amazon or whatever it is. So good point. I never really thought of that, John. That's actually a really solid point there.
I just want to jump in real quick here and say, if you've been thinking about getting started in the high ticket dropshipping space, maybe you've been thinking about joining the Dropship Breakthrough program, but if you're like most people, you've got some questions. You might have some things that are unresolved in your mind around whether this is the right thing for you to be doing right now, whether this is the right thing for you to be investing your time in and starting a business here. Well, I've got something that might help you. If you are in that situation, you can jump on a call with a member of our team here at Dropship Breakthrough. It might even be me or Ben, to have a chat through those questions and help you work out whether high ticket dropshipping, being a member of Dropship Breakthrough, is the right thing for you to be doing right now. So all you need to do that is head to Dropship Breakthrough. That's one word, breakthrough spelled BREAKTHRU.com/call. You'll find the link in the show notes. Head there and that will take you to a page which has a booking calendar on it where you can find a time that works for you. It's a free half an hour call where you'll chat with a member of our team. Once again, could be me, could be Ben as well, about whatever you're thinking, whatever questions you have, whatever you'd like to work out, so that you can then go away and determine whether this is the right thing for you to be doing. So go ahead, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call in today.
Yeah, on the supplier side. So back then there was a distributor called Winit, W-Y-N-I-T. You will have to look them up on the Wayback Machine as well because they no longer exist. I think we talked about them on the Telescope episode that they were there. One of the things I sold from them was a 3D pen. I think it was called the 3Doodler. I don't know if that's still around or not. $100. I had 30% margins on it, free shipping. And so, you know, I wouldn't recommend getting into $100 products for anybody, but that thing sold like hotcakes. And at the end of the day, I ended up making like $4 a unit, right? Because it's costing a ton of money just to acquire the customer. But I sold a lot of those, and Winit was fantastic at getting them out the door. They were kind of lame, honestly. They were really, I had one. They were stupid. It was like a hot glue gun. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend. Maybe, it's been 8 years.
The3doodler.com.
Yeah. It's been 8 years. And so I'm assuming the market's come a long, long way since then. Anyway, Winit's not there. So Winit had a few different brands. They were the distributor. That was your only choice. I ended up going directly to some of those brands and saying, hey, I know you want to push me here. I want to work directly with you. I want to build a relationship. And I was able to take a couple of those to a one-to-one relationship, which actually gave me better margins. It ended up building me a fantastic relationship where I could get better information from them, better PDFs from them that they were, you know, holding back behind the scenes. They weren't giving the distributor things like that. And so I would encourage you, not only in this industry, but, you know, if you're pushed to a distributor, keep fighting your way back to working with the brand directly. And then one other thing, Matt, I want to say it's Gemcow, one of our students, was talking in our Slack today. Again, our elite members, they have a Slack access to John and I. We have a private Slack for all of our elite members. And Matt was mentioning about, hey, what do you do with the brands that are, they say they're direct to consumer only, like they only work direct to consumer. And I had this in one of the 3D printer brands. They only sold with a couple of the really, really big business retail stores and then themselves. And every time I call, they would be like, who are you again? Like, yeah, we don't do that. but I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. And slowly but surely, I wore them down enough to, you know, find an exception to that DTC rule. And I became their lone seller. I thought that would be like the greatest day of my life, that I'm going to sell this and I'm going to sell a ton of these. It wasn't the case. It's actually almost never the case with like the most popular brand in the industry. You think it's going to be, and that's, they're up on this top tier and you need to get them. It almost never the case. you might look good. It might give you some credibility, but you're probably not going to sell a lot of them. And so this was the case. I sold a few. Their margins were fantastic. And then some of the other brands back then were in the 25% range. I do remember almost every brand I had was like happy to ship for free, or they would be like, you're going to have X margins and here's the flat shipping cost. We don't care where it's going. We're happy to take care of it for you, which I think I haven't really found that since then, of like an entire industry being one way, but this one felt that way back then. And that makes your life easy when you're like, okay, I know if I sell, like one of the units I sold was $5,000 retail price and I had 25% margins on there. And so that's $1,250 minus some fees, whatever, we'll call it $1,150, that I can go acquire a customer, and whatever I split there, that's coming to me. Right. And, that makes your life easier when you know your numbers deeply and you're not surprised when it's like, okay, this order is going to Cupertino, California, and it's going to be $492 freight shipping. And oh, by the way, it's going to California. Even though we don't need to charge you tax, we're going to charge you tax on this because our CPA is a moron and thinks we need to charge you tax for this. So you have to like figure that out, and it's going to eat into your margin. And yeah, it's nice to have brands that, you know, they give you a number, and like it allows you to plan a much, much easier.
Hmm. Awesome. So what are we saying here, Ben? Good niche, bad niche?
Yeah, I think I'm in. Who wants to partner up? That's where I'm at with it. I think that it's going to happen a lot on these calls. We'll just like, we fall in love with stuff. What did we do that on the garage organization one too? I started geeking out about ideas we could do. And
look, I'll second you in there. From what I can tell, and from what you've said, it sounds like good niche for me too. And I would say on top of that, the whole creator space, people who like to go and create stuff, is a massively underserved space. There are other products out there that kind of fall within that space that I've looked at, that I've helped one or two people build a business around, that there is like literally bugger all competition in right now in the high, and there's high ticket products in there. So I'm just going to throw that out there for anybody who's looking for a bit of direction. Go and look, go and see if you can serve people who like to create stuff. You know, people who might be selling stuff on Etsy or something like that, for example. There's high ticket products in there. Enthusiasts, good markets, underserved.
Yeah, I hope I steer people away from the electronics, right? Like that's probably the first place they go, of like, I got a ring light right here. Can I sell these great ring lights and DSLR cameras? And you know, don't go to electronics. Yeah. Electronics are a commodity. But think, who else could create? It's not just people digitally creating. There's a lot of creations to be had in the world.
Yeah. And when Ben says electronics, he means like, he doesn't mean electrical goods, like things that have an electric circuit in them. He means like consumer electronics, like cameras and things like that. Like, but, you know, people get confused when we say that sometimes. It says, this thing's electrical. Does that mean I can't sell it? No, that's not what we're talking about.
Also, every one of these that we've done, John, have you gotten an email or a DM of like, hey, that's my niche, it doesn't suck, or that's my niche, thanks for telling everybody to go. What? Like, the world is abundant. If this is a good niche, a lot of people are going to win in it. First off, we have thousands of people who listen to this podcast and thousands of people who aren't in our course or don't have a store or haven't done anything. And so, you know, last episode, take action. If you thought this was a good idea and you're like, yeah, I have a 3D printer in my office, this is you. Go. What are you waiting for? Go buy the domain today.
Yeah. If you've thought of an idea for a niche or a market, you're not alone. Anyway, regardless of whether we say it or not, other people have thought about it. Like, I've done literally probably over 1,000 market niche verifications for other people. I see the same ideas very often. It's very rare. There have been a few occasions, say, in the last 12 months where I've heard something and I'm like, oh man, I've never thought of that. Or I've never heard anybody say that. Every other time, I have heard other people think of that idea before, and you're not unique. And that's not the marker of success here, that you've got to think up something that nobody else has thought up, right? That is not one of the things that separates successful people from unsuccessful people, right? So don't worry about that. Doing the work is what's going to separate you.
Touche. I will say this, easy pump for our course. If you sign up, dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. It is down below. If you're watching on YouTube, it is in the show notes on whatever podcast player you were on. Part of you signing up is a call with John or myself, usually John. Thank you, John. Where he'll hop on a call and you say, here's five ideas that I've narrowed it down to after working through the stuff in your course. And we will happily say, this is a good idea. Steer clear of this one. Here's a few tips in this industry because we've seen a lot. And so, yes, are you going to run into other people doing this? Yes. The answer is yes. Like there, it, like you didn't come up with some magic new idea. Although I did, I do hear a new idea about once a week, John, yeah, which still shocks me every time I hear one. I'm like, wow, I've never thought of that. Some of them are really, really good too, by the way. And so like, you know, likely there's going to be somebody else there, but the difference is you is the person. I can remember way back when I first started, I started a pellet grill store and somebody posted in the forums of the things I was in, the course I was in. I started pellet grills. It doesn't work. Nobody going to pellet grills. And it destroyed me. I remember hearing that and like, oh my God, I chose pellet grills. It'll never work. And like, I reached out to some of the, you know, quote unquote experts and they were like, fuck that guy. Like, are you going to do things the same way he did and end up in the same place? Probably not. You're going to take different action. You're going to build a better store. Probably. You can do a million things different. If he failed, great. That doesn't mean you're going to fail. Or if there are, you know, three people in there that are having success, that doesn't mean you're not going to have success. And so just find what works for you. And if you want our help with that, hop in our course. We will happily verify what you decide to jump into. And then it's on you. You got to take the action. You have to put in the work to be successful. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.